Welcome to Clutch Time with Mike on the mic. It's your boy Mike, and I'm back with a Thanksgiving-filled episode. Got a podcast for you on this holiday weekend. Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving and a good Black Friday. Don't stay out in that madness too long. But let's get right into it. We're going to go over some games, get some predictions, and then in the second segment, I want to go in on some of these former professional athletes that get on these podcasts and just say some of the most asinine stuff. Like, they're just looking for clicks and looking for hot takes. That's all it is. But let's get right into it, y'all. So tomorrow on Thanksgiving, November 23rd, at 12:30 on Fox, the first game of the day is the Packers and the Lions. Give me the Lions. I am very, very much impressed with the Lions. last week when when I was checking the games, I saw that the Lions were down 26-14 with about 4 minutes left to play, and then they came back and actually won the game against the Bears. So I'm, like I've been saying, I'm very impressed with the Lions. They're definitely Super Bowl contenders. Jared Goff has turned his career around out there in Detroit. So they're definitely a team to watch and a team to be scared of. I wouldn't want to go to Detroit and play in a playoff game. They've got offense, defense, special teams. They've got great coaching. They're a good team, very solid, very not used to what we're all seeing, because in my lifetime, the Lions have never been good outside of when they had Barry Sanders, but they never had an offensive line. So, excuse me. So with them being how they're playing this year, love to see it. And then the second game of the day on Thanksgiving is the Cowboys at – or the Commanders at the Cowboys, excuse me. Give me the Cowboys. The Cowboys have looked to bounce back from that loss to the Eagles. They put up, I believe it was 40-something points against the Giants and then another 30-something against the Panthers last week. Two inferior teams, but the Commanders aren't too much better. They traded away their best defensive player in Chase Young. Ron Rivera is probably going to be fired at the end of the season. I know Magic Johnson is in the leadership group or in the ownership group, excuse me, with the Washington Commanders. So definitely give me the Cowboys in that game. And then we got the 49ers and the Seahawks, and the 49ers look to be back in form, back at being what we know them to be, one of the best teams in the NFL. After that 3-game losing streak, they've won 2 straight and they've looked dominant doing it. They beat the brakes off the Jaguars. I believe that was on Sunday. So, yeah. Definitely give me the 49ers in that game. I like the Seahawks. I like what they're doing. I like that Geno Smith is out there playing and doing good and reviving his career out there in Seattle with Pete Carroll and DK Metcalf and them boys. But I think the 49ers are just too much. Offensively, they got Debo back, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy's looked steady these last 2 games. the defense with Fred Warner, Chase Young, what's my man's name? Nick Bosa. They just look dominant. So, yeah, give me the 49ers in that game, even though it's in Seattle, but give me the 49ers. And then for the first time ever, the NFL is having a game on Black Friday. At 3:00 on Prime Video, which is Amazon Prime. It's the Dolphins and the Jets. Definitely give me the Dolphins. I feel bad for the Jets defense because they know every week they have to go out there and play basically perfect football for them to have any chance of winning. They can't make any mistakes, have any mental lapses, any blown coverages, missed assignments, none of that. Because if they do, the other team typically capitalizes and they score, and then if they get down, The Jets just don't have enough offensively with no quarterback. Zach Wilson is – I thought he turned the corner after that Chiefs game. He looked so good in that game, but he's regressed back to what we know him to be. He's not good. I know that he got benched in favor of – I can't remember the kid's name. so, yeah, definitely give me the Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins offense is something that you only see on Madden, like if you're playing on rookie. Scoring all them points per game and just putting up video game type numbers. Tua's look great. Tyreek has looked great. Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert, Devin Achane was back. I know he hurt his knee in his return back, but I think he'll be back on Friday. I know it was a short week, but I think he'll be back. They didn't say it was serious when he re-injured his knee. They just had a wait-and-see approach, so I think he'll be all right. I think he'll play Friday. Even if he doesn't play, the Dolphins just have too much offense for the Jets. The Jets don't have enough offense to compete with the Dolphins. Definitely give me the Dolphins in that game, big AFC East matchup. And then Sunday, the first game of the day is the Panthers and the Titans. Y'all, when I tell y'all, it is so hard being a Titans fan. It really is. Like, we should win the game against the Panthers because the Panthers are 1-9. We're 3-7. We ain't too much better. But we'll come out and lay a goose egg and lose to the Panthers. At home, it wouldn't surprise me. My issue with the Titans are we don't know what we want to do. One game, we're throwing the ball all up and down the field. The next game, we're throwing screens and short passes, not trying to stress the defense. And like I've been saying all season, my biggest gripe is we don't want to give Derrick Henry the ball because we don't want to pay him at the end of the season, which, again, I keep saying this. I hate the politics of the NFL. You'd rather not pay a player and sacrifice winning than to just pony up and pay the player. I don't get it. I'll never understand it. Maybe that's the part about the NFL that I'll never get, the business aspect of it, because I want to win. I'd rather win than sit here and worry about whether or not we're going to have the money to play a player. And like I said on a previous podcast, if you're winning, the money will come. All the money from the endorsements, all the money from the exposure and publicity, all of that will come if you're winning. But if you're not trying to, if you're not playing to win, you're not going to win. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Titans, but like I said here, disclaimer, if they lose, they lose. It wouldn't surprise me. The Steelers and the Bengals, the big news in that game is Joe Burrow is out for the season. I was watching the game on Thursday against the Ravens. He threw that touchdown pass, and then after he threw the pass, I don't know what happened, but he was holding his hand. He couldn't really do nothing. He came off the field. He looked angry. I was like, I didn't see anything, so I didn't know what was going on. And then when they came back from commercial break, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit were saying that they deleted the picture, but there was a picture of Joe Burrow when he got off the plane in Baltimore with his right hand being in some kind of contraption around his wrist and everything. So I was like, I wonder if he re-injured his wrist, but I was like, I didn't see it, so I didn't know what was going on. And then when they came back from commercial break, you seen Joe Burrow trying to throw the ball, and as soon as he picked it up and tried to let it go, he immediately dropped it. He dropped down to his knees, and he just looked angry. And I'm like, man, what's going on? So then you see him run off the field, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe he just needs to get stretched. He needs some kind of medical attention. He'll be back. And then he doesn't come back for the rest of the game, and then the next day, Adam Schefter drops that bombshell that he's out for the remainder of the season with some kind of ligament injury. And for the Bengals, that's heartbreaking for my boy Juice. I know that hurt because he's a Bengals fan. Tough break for the Bengals. They look like they were finally starting to turn the corner. I know they lost that game to Houston, but I think they were starting to come on and starting to progress. But without Joe Burrow, they don't have a chance. They don't. Not looking up to the Steelers and not looking up to the Ravens in the AFC North. The Steelers fired their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. Stephen A. put out some crazy stat yesterday that I was listening to. I believe since 2021, I think that's the year after Big Ben retired, and since Matt Canada has been the offensive coordinator, they're the only team out of 32 teams in the NFL, the only team to not have 400 yards offensively. So you guys have got the players. You've got George Pickens, a solid wide receiver. Deontay Johnson, y'all got a solid running back, solid offensive line, great defense, awesome head coach, one of the best head coaches in the game. So at this point, I know last week I was getting on the Bills about firing their offensive coordinator and not trying to get on Josh Allen. But in the Steelers case, I believe it's more so the OC than it is the players that he has around them. I'm not a big fan of Kenny Pickett. I'm really not. He just has too small of hands, and it doesn't seem like he's that guy to me. But if anybody can make it work, it's Mike Tomlin. He gets the best out of his players. I know the guys love to play for him. I'd love to play for Mike Tomlin. But we're going to see how it goes this weekend against the Bengals. The Bengals have a formidable defense, so we'll see if the Steelers can surpass 400 yards total offense and see if they can have some kind of explosion offensively after get rid of Matt Canada. So I'm going to take the Steelers in that game. And then we got a big matchup in the AFC South. Excuse me, y'all. In the AFC South, the Jaguars and the Texans. Like I've been saying, regardless of the outcome on Sunday against the Jaguars, if C.J. Stroud is not in the MVP conversation, then I don't know what we're doing. C.J. Stroud has looked amazing. When I say amazing, if you just cut on the film and watch him and didn't know nothing about him, you'd think he was a 5-6 year veteran the way that he leads the Texans offense. Like, he looks amazingly good for a rookie. They're going up against the Jaguars, and the Jaguars are rolling. They're 7-3. The Texans are 6-4. The Jaguars have Doug Peterson, and they have Trevor Lawrence, Christian Kirk. They've got good pieces offensively and defensively. It's in Houston. I'm going to take the Texans. I'm a believer in C.J. Stroud. Like, I really like watching him play. I like his command of the offense. I love what D'Amico Ryans is doing with that team. The head coach, former linebacker, he graduated from the University of Alabama. He got drafted. Great player in the league. I loved it. I'm glad that he got his first head coaching opportunity while I was against it at first because it was Houston. And I was thinking, you're going to saddle him with a rookie quarterback, and if he doesn't win, you're going to fire him in 2 years. But obviously, he knows what he's doing. He's got the Texans playing great football, offensively, defensively, special teams. Yeah, give me the Texans because it's at home. Give me the Texans in that game, winning by a touchdown against the Jaguars. And then we got the Buccaneers and the Colts. This is like a toss-up of the worst of the worst. I'm not a believer in Baker Mayfield. Never have been. Never been sold on Baker. Wasn't sold on Baker in college. Wasn't sold on Baker in the league. I thought that he walked into a great opportunity in Cleveland. He had all them weapons. Had a great defense, but he just couldn't get the job done. And people kept making excuses for him. And I wasn't trying to hear it. Give me the Colts in that game. I think the Colts can win that game. It's in Indianapolis. Give me the Colts. And then the Saints and the Falcons. The Saints are 5-5. The Falcons are 4-6. It's the NFC South divisional matchup. Give me the Saints. Give me the Saints. I think the Saints' defense will be able to contain Bijan Robinson and contain the Falcons' weapons offensively. And I think, I believe if Derek Carr is playing, the Saints will have enough to overcome the Falcons, even though it's in Atlanta. The Patriots and the Giants, again, the worst of the worst. The Giants are 3-8. The Patriots are 2-8. Give me the Giants because Mac Jones is the quarterback for the Patriots. And he's making Bill Belichick look like he can't coach. And I know Bill Belichick is stubborn as they come, so he's not going to deviate from what he does and how he sees it. He just feels like if he goes out there and he coaches and puts you in the right position, you should be able to make the plays. But Mac Jones has clearly shown that he can't. And I just don't think that he needs to be a starter in the league. I think he needs to be benched, traded, cut, whatever. Give me the Giants in that game. They did have a comeback or a bounce back win against the Commanders Sunday. So we'll see if they can carry over that offensive explosion they had against the Patriots. The Rams and the Cardinals. Kyler Murray came back and looked phenomenal in that game that he came back in. He didn't look like he had been hurt at all. The Rams just look lost, like offensively and defensively. They just look lost. Cooper Kupp is showing what it's like to be game planned against, schemed against. He's just not been able to get open and do what he's been doing the last few years. He doesn't have the cast around him to be a true number one, to where they maybe they have to show some attention to another receiver. Matthew Stafford hasn't looked great. The Rams defense hasn't looked good. Sean McVay looks like he's just out there doing what he's doing. It's in Arizona. Give me the Cardinals. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals beat the Rams. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And then we got the Browns and the Broncos. Listen, now y'all listen. I've been on here for weeks talking about how Russell Wilson has looked terrible and he just doesn't look like the Russell Wilson that we know from Seattle and all that. But these last few weeks, Russell Wilson has turned the corner. He's looked good. Now, he hasn't passed for 200 yards in a game in like four straight games, but he hasn't had to. They've been able to pick their spots and win games. They won the game this past weekend late with a drive down the field where he scored a touchdown. And then they beat was that the Colts? Or the – no, they beat the Bills that Sunday night game. So, yeah. And then they're going up against the Browns, who have surprising this year. They're 7-3. They've got arguably the best defense in the league. They beat the Steelers. They beat the Ravens. They beat other teams. They've looked good. going up against that defense, I'm going to take the Browns. I think Russell Wilson will need some kind of – he can't not pass for 200 yards against the Browns and think he's going to win. I don't think that'll work against them. I think their defense is too good. So, yeah, give me the Browns in that game. And then the Chiefs and the Raiders. We got the Chiefs 7-3, the Raiders 5-6. The Chiefs coming off that heartbreaking loss to the Eagles on Monday night. Give me the Chiefs in that game. I like the Chiefs in that game. I still like Patrick Mahomes. The Raiders don't know what they're – well, I mean, the Raiders have looked better since they fired Josh McDaniels. I will say that. The Chiefs, if Travis Kelce's not getting open, the Chiefs don't have anything. Their offense, their wide receivers are horrible. They dropped, I believe it was 5 passes in the game Monday against the Eagles. And the Eagles scored, and then they what happened? The Eagles scored. They were up 21-17, and then they got the ball back. The Chiefs were able to stop them, get the ball back, and they gave Patrick Mahomes a chance. Patrick Mahomes on that fourth down, he got out the side of the pocket, and he threw a rocket to the wide receiver. And if Buddy would have caught it, it'd have been a first down. It would have been a first down. Now, they didn't have to score a touchdown, but it would have been a first down and kept the drive going, but he dropped the ball. They had all them drop passes in that game against Philly in the rematch of the Super Bowl. So, of course, the next day, today, or in yesterday, they've been questioning Patrick Mahomes whether he can still lead this offense and how much they miss Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Commanders, who was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs all these years with those prolific offenses. But if you don't have nobody to throw the ball to outside of Travis Kelce, then you're not going to win. And as Jeff Saturday and Shannon Sharpe said, and Shannon Sharpe would know better than anybody, the easiest position to cover on the offense is the tight end, because the tight end, while he's not as fast as a wide receiver, he's got good enough speed to be able to beat a linebacker, but maybe not beat a safety. And if you double or triple team him like they were doing Travis Kelce, and if your receivers can't get separation and catch the ball, then it's not going to work for you. It's just not. And the Chiefs don't have a strong running game. They've got a adequate running game with what's his name? Patrick McKinnon, I believe that's his name. And the short kid from LSU. I can't even think of his name. It's escaping me. Excuse me, y'all. It's escaping me. But the Chiefs should have paid Odell what he was asking for. They could have had Odell. They could have signed D-Hop in the offseason. They had some receivers out there that they could have went and got, but they didn't do anything, and then they didn't make any trades at the trade deadline. So that's on the Chiefs thinking, oh, well, we got Pat Mahomes, we can do it. Listen, even the greatest quarterbacks, if they don't have wide receivers to throw to, then it's just not going to work. The only outlier for that is Tom Brady. Tom Brady used to play with some of the worst wide receivers you've ever seen in your life and make them look fantastic. But that's Tom Brady. That's the GOAT we're talking about. That's different. He's the outlier. One out of how many ever quarterbacks have been in the NFL and since his inception, he's one out of, I don't know, thousands of quarterbacks. So if you're not Tom Brady, you're not going to be able to do it. Just not. But give me the Chiefs in that game. It's in Las Vegas, but give me the Chiefs. And then Sunday, we got the Bills and the Eagles. Give me the Eagles with another hard-fought game against the Bills. Josh Allen, while he bounced back against the Jets, he still threw another, he still had another interception, another turnover in that game. So, obviously, the turnover bug is still there. He's going against the Eagles. You can't turn the ball over against the Eagles and think that you're about to beat them. The offense is too good. Their defense is too good with the addition of Kevin Byard at safety, who is a interception machine. Their defensive line, when they need to pin their ears back and make a play, they'll make a play. So Josh Allen better play his A game to beat the Eagles. And it's in Philly. Give me Philly. And then the Sunday night game is the Ravens and the Chargers. Give me the Ravens. I hope, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If Brandon Staley doesn't lose his job at the end of the year for the Las Vegas Chargers, then I don't know what that organization is doing. That's my computer. I'm still working. He's not a good coach. Like, he came in the press conference after the game Sunday that they lost, and he's like, well, we're coaching. I don't know what the players are doing. Now, granted, I get that coming from me coaching middle school football when we had those talks as coaches, like, oh, man, are we putting the kids in the right position to do what they're supposed to do? And then you watch the film, and they're all in the right position doing what they're supposed to do, but they're not doing what they've been coached to do. Now, that's middle school football. We're talking about the NFL. If it's not the players, then we're going to look towards coaching. And y'all know how I feel about Brandon Staley. I don't think he's a good coach. I would, like I said, I would have fired him after that playoff game against the Jaguars. But that's just me. I'm quick to let somebody go and go in a direction because I don't want to become stagnant. I don't want to become mediocre. But, I mean, whatever Las Vegas wants to do, if they don't want to fire him, then I hope you know that you guys aren't going to be any good because you've got a decent quarterback in Justin Herbert. You've got Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler. You've got Nick Bosa on the defense. Derwin James. You've got pieces. You've got pieces. But if you don't have the right coach, then it's not going to work. I'd love to see what Justin Herbert and that offense do if Sean Payton was their coach. That's just me, or if Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator from the Commanders, if he was their head coach, I'd love to see what that offense would do with them at the helm, pulling the triggers and calling the plays versus Brandon Staley. I know it's in Las Vegas against the Ravens, but definitely give me the Ravens. The Ravens have looked great offensively and defensively and on special teams. Odell looked like he's starting to look like Odell again. Lamar Jackson starting to look like Lamar Jackson again. Give me the Ravens. And then the Monday night game is the Bears and the Vikings. Give me the Vikings. The Vikings had that heartbreaker loss this past Sunday. Josh Dobbs just couldn't get him over the hump like he's been doing. But I believe in Josh Dobbs more than I believe in Justin Fields at this moment. Give me the Vikings. So that's it for this week of NFL picks. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, I'm going to play y'all a clip from Gilbert Arenas' podcast where it's him, Kenyon Martin, various guests, Lord, what is my man's name? He's so irrelevant. Rashad McCants. I'm going to play that clip and I'm let y'all listen to it, and then I'm going to tell y'all what my issue with that whole take that he had. So we'll be right back. All right, y'all. Welcome back to Clutch Time with Mike on the Mic. So I'm going to play you guys this clip. Like I said, it's about 3 minutes long. It's Rashad McCants talking about Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and LeBron James on Gilbert Arenas' podcast. So y'all take a listen and then tell me what you think. Or I'm going to tell y'all what I think. I
think that the real hoopers know that Kevin Durant is going to go down as a better, I think, better basketball player
The LeBron draft.
LeBron. At the end of the road, not right now. But promotion, if you look at Steph, LeBron, and KD, the promotion between Steph and LeBron is here. Mm-hmm. KD's here. Is I don't know if he's presentable or marketable. I don't know what it is, but they have more commercials.
Hmm? The dad thing that their parent, like their fathers, kind of also with the LeBron conversation, because he has like a college age son and older kids, and Zuri's like 10 or 11 now. It like makes him like seem like a little bit older than he actually is. You look at KD.
And KD's not that young from them.
No, he's not. But when
he's not being pushed.
Right.
He's not being pushed over the limit. And you would think, because he's a Nike guy, he's a champion, he came in with just as much hype as LeBron. Mm-hmm. You know, Texas and DC Assault, all that stuff. It's like, well, why is KD not being seen as top three all time?
Because the media killed off the legacy when he left.
That's fucked up.
Golden State.
Because he could have eclipsed LeBron maybe four years ago.
But just like LeBron got clipped
when he went to Miami.
When he went to Miami.
Yeah.
Right.
Go back to Cleveland and revitalize.
What
happened is the NBA is holding, the media is holding a standard on three people. And it's not fair because the three people were in three main cities, right? You're in the, when the NBA is at its thriving, when the NBA is making their money, they are as big as possible, is if when the three kings are, when the three king cities are powerhousing, Boston, Chicago, Lakers. When those three cities are, they got good teams, the NBA is, that's cash cow,
yep.
Right? You can't have all three of them down. One has to be standing for the media to go. So think about every great player we done had. Where are their legacies?
One of those, I mean, in a major city.
Chicago, Boston, okay. LA.
Los Angeles.
Right? When you talk about Derrick Rose, is when Chicago was pumping,
yeah.
Right? You talk about the Boston, you're talking about LA, Lakers, right? You're talking about legacy. So Kobe, right? You're talking about Magic, right? You're talking about all Lakers who never went anywhere. You're talking about Chicago. Michael Jordan don't need to go anywhere. You're talking about Bird. He don't need to go anywhere. Everyone wants to come to them. Right? So you're talking about, oh, they never left. Why do they need to leave? Where are they going to go?
I think that the real...
Okay. So, like I said, that was Rashad McCants on Gilbert Arenas podcast talking about Kevin Durant and LeBron James. So this is my issue. Y'all know that I think LeBron James is the greatest player to ever do it. I think he's better than Jordan. I think he's better than Kobe, Magic, Shaq, Kareem, Tim Duncan, all of those guys. I think he's way better than Kevin Durant. And his point of saying that he thinks, first point is when he said he thinks that real hoopers will say that Kevin Durant is better than LeBron James. First of all, Rashad McCants, you're not even a real hooper. Like, you get on that podcast and act like you were some all-star player, some legendary great NBA player that, you know, you come out here and you say these things and it holds weight. Brother man, you were terrible in the league. Like, horrible. I think LeBron James in 1 year eclipsed your whole stats in your whole career. If that's true, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But you're not that guy to be making statements like that, saying real hoopers will think that Kevin Durant is better than LeBron James. In no way, shape, form, or fashion is Kevin Durant and LeBron James even in the same stratosphere. It's levels to it. And when I say it's levels to it, LeBron James wasn't always at the level that he is now. But over his career of 21 years, he's gotten to that level where, it to me, the conversation is him and Jordan, and then it's everybody else. That's to me, in my opinion. And a lot of other people feel the same way. Some don't. Some feel like Kobe should be in that conversation. Me personally, I don't. I think it's LeBron and Michael Jordan and then everybody else. And maybe someday somebody else will get in that conversation. But for right now, it's just them two. If you got Jordan as the GOAT, I understand. I get it. I'll argue with you, but I'm not going to try to change your mind because you're going to feel the way that you feel. If you feel like LeBron is the GOAT like I do, I'll tell you why I think he's the GOAT and why I think he's the best to ever do it. And I'll leave it at that. You can either agree with me or you can disagree, whatever the case may be. My second point is he said he feels like KD doesn't get the credit that he deserves like LeBron and Steph do. And I'll tell you why he doesn't get the credit that he feels like he deserves. So, as we all know, back in 2016 in the playoffs, Kevin Durant was on the Oklahoma City Thunder. It was him and Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka. Who else was on that team? Some other people. They had a very talented team. And they were the talk of the West. And then there was the Golden State Warriors that year who were 73-9, who were the talk of the league, the talk of the sports world, because they beat the 72-10 Bulls record. Steph Curry was the first ever unanimous MVP. But lo and behold, in the Western Conference Finals, the Oklahoma City Thunder were up 3-1. And then they choked away and lost that game in lost that series in seven games, 4-3. And Kevin Durant was nowhere to be found. Nowhere. So, when I say that Kevin Durant is not on LeBron James' level, LeBron James has never been up in a series 3-1 and didn't win the series. If LeBron James is up 3-1 in the series, 9 times out of 10, that game, that series is ending in 5 games or it's going to end in 6, just like that series against Memphis last NBA season. They were up 3-1. Memphis won game 5 to make it 3-2. And then the Lakers came and blew them out by 40 in game 6. So don't sit here and tell me that LeBron James and Kevin Durant are on the same level. When I say it's levels to it, this is what I mean. So Kevin Durant's been in the league. Hold on, let me pull it up. Because I just had it up. LeBron James has been in the league 21 years. Kevin Durant's been in the league, 16 years now. So LeBron James has 4 NBA championships. Kevin Durant has 2. Like I said, LeBron's played 21 seasons. Kevin Durant's played 16. The playoffs played, LeBron James has been in the playoffs 16 times. Kevin Durant 12 times. All-Star games, LeBron James has been an All-Star 19 straight years as a starter. Kevin Durant's been an All-Star 13 years. Season MVPs, LeBron James has 4, Kevin Durant has 1. Finals MVPs, LeBron James has 4, 3 of those with 3 different organizations, Kevin Durant has 2. All-NBA first team, LeBron James has the NBA record 13 times, first team All-NBA, Kevin Durant has 6. All-NBA total selections, LeBron James has 19, Kevin Durant has 10, which means 19 years out of LeBron James, 20 years that he's played, he's been All-NBA. The only year he didn't make it was his rookie year, and the way that he's playing this year, he'll make that 20 years out of 21. All-NBA defensive first team, LeBron James 5 times, Kevin Durant none. All-NBA defensive teams total, LeBron James 6 times, Kevin Durant 0. Scoring titles, LeBron James 1, Kevin Durant 4. He's got him beat there. Assist leaders, LeBron James 1, Kevin Durant 0. They both won Rookie of the Year. Stats per game, Kevin Durant, who's universally recognized as one of the best scorers in NBA history. People put him up there with Jordan and Kobe as one of the best, and Carmelo as one of the best scorers to ever do it. Kevin Durant, for his career, averages 27.3 points per game. LeBron James averages 27.2, so 0.1 points off of Kevin Durant's career average. Kevin Durant averages 7.1 rebounds. LeBron averages 7.5. Assists per game, LeBron averages 7.3. Kevin Durant, 4.3. Steals per game, LeBron averages 1.5 steals per game. Kevin Durant averages 1.1 steals per game. Blocks per game, Kevin Durant averages one block per game. LeBron James 0.8, excuse me. Total stats. Kevin Durant in 16 seasons has scored 27,331 points. LeBron James in 21 seasons has scored 39,012 points. So you mean to tell me in basically a four-year difference, we don't count this year, LeBron James has scored 11,000 more points than Kevin Durant? Even if Kevin Durant played until he was 39 and he kept scoring the way he is, I still don't think that he would catch LeBron James. I don't think he'd catch him. Total rebounds, LeBron James, 10,780. Kevin Durant, 7,057. Total assists, LeBron James, 10,513. Kevin Durant, 4,347. Total steals, LeBron James, 2,208. Kevin Durant, 1,066. Total blocks, Kevin Durant, 1,121. LeBron James, 1,083. Total games, Kevin Durant just passed 1,000 games. LeBron James played 1,435 games. Field goal percentage, Kevin Durant is 49.9% for his field goal. LeBron James is 50.5%. 3-point percentage, Kevin Durant is 38.6%. LeBron James is 34.5%. Free throw percentage, Kevin Durant is 88.6%. LeBron James is 73.5%. Best game. No game minimum for points per game. Kevin Durant's averaged 32 in 2014. LeBron averaged 31.4 in 2006. Rebounds per game. LeBron James 8.6. Kevin Durant 8.3 in 2017 and 2018. Assists per game. LeBron James career high in assists at 10.2 in 2020. Kevin Durant's at 6.4 in 2022. Steals per game. In 2005, LeBron averaged 2.2 steals per game. Kevin Durant in 2013 averaged 1.4. Blocks per game in 2018, Kevin Durant averaged 1.8. LeBron's career high in blocks per game is 1.1 in 2009. Stats per game in the playoffs. Kevin Durant averages 29.4 points per game in the playoffs. LeBron James averages 28.5. Rebounds per game, LeBron averages 9 a game. Kevin Durant, 7.8. Assists per game, LeBron James averages 7.2, Kevin Durant 4.2. Steals per game, Kevin Durant 1, LeBron James 1.7. Blocks per game in the playoffs, LeBron 1, Kevin Durant 1.2. The total stats in the playoffs are Kevin Durant's averaged 4,878 points, scored 4,878 points, excuse me. LeBron James has scored 8,023 points. Total rebounds, Kevin Durant's averaged 1,301. LeBron James has secured 2,549 rebounds. Assists, Kevin Durant has only had 696 assists. LeBron James, 2,023 assists. Total steals, Kevin Durant 170, LeBron James 471. Now, this isn't in the playoffs, y'all. Total blocks, Kevin Durant 198. LeBron James 270. Total games, Kevin Durant 166, LeBron James 282. Field goal percentages in the playoffs, Kevin Durant 47.6, LeBron James 49.5. 3-point percentage, 35.5 for Kevin Durant, 33.1 for LeBron James. Free throws, 86.9 for Kevin Durant, 74.1 for LeBron James. The best playoffs that they've had, no game minimum. Points per game, Kevin Durant averaged 34.3 in 2021. LeBron James averaged 35.3 in 2009. Rebounds per game, LeBron averaged 11.3 in 2015. Kevin Durant, 9.3 in 2021. Assists per game, LeBron averaged 9 assists per game in 2018. Kevin Durant, 6.3. Steals per game, Kevin Durant's career high is 1.5 in 2021. LeBron is 2.3 in 2016. Blocks per game, 1.6 in 2021 for Kevin Durant. And blocks per game, 1.8 in 2010 for LeBron James. So just reading off all those stats to you, there are very few categories in which Kevin Durant leads LeBron James in any metric. Scoring, it's a wash. Assists, rebounds, steals, blocks, total points, total rebounds, total assists, total steals, total blocks, total games. Kevin Durant, listen to me. Kevin Durant is great. He is fantastically great. He is a great player. There's no doubt about that. But he is not LeBron James. Kevin Durant, if you put Kevin Durant on those Cavalier teams that LeBron took to the finals in 4 years straight, they don't make the finals 4 years in a row. They don't. We've seen Kevin Durant with talented teams, and the only team that he's taken to the finals that he's been with this as talented as those Cavs teams and those Heat teams or were the Golden State Warriors, and that was Steph Curry's team. And Rashad McCants like, he wondered why Kevin Durant doesn't get the nod that LeBron and Steph Curry gets. Here's another reason why. Like I was saying in 2016, when the Warriors were up three games to – the Thunder were up 3-1, and then they lost 4-3, and LeBron would never let that happen. It was the fact that Kevin Durant then became a free agent. Nobody cares – listen to me when I say this. Nobody cares that he left. Nobody cares that he left OKC. That is his prerogative. He wanted to go to a different team. That's cool. It's the fact that he went to Golden State to hitch himself onto their bandwagon to win him some rings because he couldn't do it on his own. Not to say that any player has done this on his own, but if you're Kevin Durant and you're that guy and you want to be mentioned with Michael Jordan, with LeBron James, with Kobe, with Shaq, with guys like that, then you should have took your talents to – I don't know, Washington, San Antonio, Washington being your hometown, San Antonio with Pop. Take your talent somewhere other than Golden State because that's the team that beat you. Why is it such a big deal? Just picture this for those Jordan fans. Picture Michael Jordan losing to the Celtics like he was losing to the Celtics and picture him losing to the Pistons. Picture Michael Jordan in the summer of those after those losses, saying, I'm going to go be a free agent. Now, I couldn't beat Boston. I'm going to go play for Boston. Or I couldn't beat Detroit. I'm going to go play for Detroit. And then winning 6 rings. Do y'all think y'all would still view him the same way? No, y'all wouldn't because y'all feel like he took the easy way out, which is what Kevin Durant's problem is. For as good as he is, those 2 rings that he got are tainted. The ring that Dirk won in 2011, the ring that Giannis won in 2020, are way more impactful than the 2 rings that Kevin Durant won in Golden State. One being because Dirk in 2011 swept the NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers and Kobe Bryant 4-0. They beat OKC 4-1. Granted, that was a young OKC with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. They were young. I get it. They lost to the Dallas Mavericks. And then as a perpetual underdog, Dirk played the series of his life against the Miami Heat and beat the Miami Heat in the finals in 2011. That ring is goated. He beat Kobe Bryant. He beat Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Then he beat LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. Crazy, crazy run to a ring. And then Giannis in 2020, he stayed in Milwaukee. He signed that extension. And he was catching flack for flaming out in the playoffs. And then he turned it on and won it in – I believe that was 2021 that he won the finals. So, Kevin Durant, why again? You were great. You were a fantastic player. I'd take you on my team. But if I had to choose between you and LeBron James, it's LeBron James 10 times out of 10. Sorry, that's what it is. That's what it's gonna be. And for Rashad McCants, like I said, you be saying stuff. You were never that good. You're not that guy. You talking on that podcast, I think Gilbert Arenas does it as a goodwill gesture. I guess I'm assuming y'all are good friends, so that's why he's got you on there. Gilbert Arenas has some cachet. Gilbert Arenas dropped 60 on Kobe. Gilbert Arenas could play. Gilbert Arenas has been to All-Star games, and Gilbert Arenas was a baller, certified baller. You, on the other hand, you were like Skip Bayless. You are rattling off accomplishments from middle school and AAU basketball about stuff that you've done. You didn't do anything in the professional leagues. You were trash. You were good in college, but you were trash in the leagues, point blank period. You couldn't sniff LeBron James' jock. You couldn't sniff Kevin Durant's jock. Couldn't do it. You're not that guy. That's all I got to say about that. That just rubbed me the wrong way when I heard it yesterday. I shared it on Twitter, and one of my boys, Matt Beasy, who is a big-time Tar Heels fan, said, we don't even claim Rashad McCants. So clearly, you don't have favor with the Tar Heels either. So you're just burning all kind of bridges, and you just really need to keep your mouth closed. You just need to shut up and let it go. But that's all I got for y'all today on this podcast, man. This will be released on Thanksgiving Day, probably 10 or 11 a.m., I don't know what time I schedule it for yet, but it'll be released so everybody can hear it, and I'll share it on social media so everybody can listen. If you don't already, get the notifications when I drop a podcast episode. As always, I appreciate everybody that listens, and I appreciate everybody who shared that post on Facebook and invited all their friends. I went from 500 followers on the Clutch Time with Mike on the Mic page on Facebook from 500 to 1,500 in less than a week, so I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody that listens. As always, man, y'all stay safe, be blessed, happy holidays, enjoy your families. Love y'all. Mike is out.